I've called you apart in two places. The testimony to the world was that you don't do the things they do, nor act like they do, nor speak like they do. They were to take measure and look at you and say, you're different, you're peculiar. And at times even to disdain that you would not participate in the things that they participate. There ought to be a great gulf between the world and my church. For some have said, out of a disposition that has taken them down a wrong road, that there's gray areas in that, and there's gray areas in that. And I say unto you, the church has believed a lie. It's believed the doctrine of demons. It is not gray, it's black and it's white. It is pure and it's holy, and it's darkness or deceit. And I've called you to come over to a place where the world would be drawn by you because they see that you're different. First in your walk, first in the way that you do things. But then my crown to you is that a power would come forth from you, that when you go to the hospitals, or that you go to someone and you pray for them, or you pray for them over the phone, something happens. I have no pleasure. Though I have pleasure in the love I have for my people, I have no pleasure in a powerless church. Mahalaso. Many pray for people when asked, because it's the right thing and the loving thing to do. But I would that there was something more than just you doing the loving thing, that when you prayed, a power was emanated from you. And it really touched and brought forth healing and manifestation. I am the manifester, saith the Lord. Too much has been disguised in my church as in saying, let's take that by faith. Let's take that by faith. Let's take that by faith. I'm telling you, the days are changing where true manifestation will come about by those who are really praying and spending time in my presence, saith the Lord. Hitherto, for there has been a great maze and a bleeding together. There was not a distinguishing, because faith preaching, though valid, covered and disguised in that place of where there would be power or not power. But I'm telling you that the manifester, which is my spirit, has come to the church. And he will begin to follow those who are doing my sayings and living in a place where I've called them. They'll go head and shoulders above much in the church. Not because I prefer or love one more than another, but these are the days of manifestation, says the Spirit of the Lord. Faith is one thing that I am very well pleased in, and without faith it's impossible to please me. But what is your faith for, if not for the manifestation? It's not always to stay in a place of faith. It is to come to a place of maturity, of fruit, ready to be picked and ripe and ready to be eaten and enjoyed by healing and manifestation of deliverance and provision, says the Spirit of the Lord. I enjoy faith, but I enjoy the manifestation of that faith far more, says the Spirit of the Lord. Come apart. Know that I desire you. I desire you, says the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm pleased with whatever place that you're at in me. But push in more to that place of residence, that place of power. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah. The simplicity of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. I don't want to ever have a church where people come and they think, this is so ambiguous. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking a lot about revival, but he's talking about this, and he's talking about healing and power. But here's the simplicity. Jesus came into this world, born of a virgin, the Son of God, fully God, but fully man. He lived out his life as a man. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John says he lived out his life as a human man against all temptation, did not give himself over to evil. He was sinless, the sinless Lamb. In other words, Jesus lived 33 and a half years, crucified, and then was taken as a man, as a man. He took all temptation against himself as a man, not as God, as a man. That way, when he passed over and gave us his spirit, when we were born again, he's telling us this, that spirit that I give you, which is the born again nature, has been road tested. It's been road tested. When I buy four tires, they say this has been road tested for 100,000 miles. The spirit that he gave you has been road tested for eternity. In other words, if you'll live after and give yourself after it, you don't have to sin. But before you're born again, here's the beautiful part. This is people that don't understand. I'm talking to the camera now. Listen, it's amazing. This man, without God's, without the intervention of deity, lived out his life sinless. What does that mean? It means that not as I'm God, this is maybe a bad word, but he divorced himself. The word tells us in Philippians that he actually stepped out of his deity and said, I'm going to describe it this way. I bar myself from ever coming from that realm into this realm and making any decisions for me. I'll live out my whole, whether I make it or don't make it, whether I fall on my face, if Jesus would ascend, we're doomed. Because then our only lamb, you can only have a spotless lamb to get to God. And if he messes up, we're doomed because there's no redeemer for him to go to. There's nobody else to him to go to because he's the one. But he steps out of his deity and says, this deity really, his deity existed before his humanity. So you know his deity, he decided, I'll never invade that world of humanity as far as making any decisions for it. So he sees a beautiful woman walking by, and the thought comes in, lust, 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 lust. And he says, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let my thoughts go further than just that. Woman washes his feet with her hair. What do you think most men would feel? He's sitting there, uh-uh. I will not let myself go there. I will not transgress the inward person that I am. And every decision, the Pharisees stand up and deride him. What does deride mean? It means they cursed him in church. Well, what do you want to do? The flesh usually, I'll go take care of that. No, he refused. He never sinned. And he did it because of the power of the new nature that you and I have got. We've got the same. Well, I had to do that. No, you didn't have to do it because you have the same power in you that Jesus had. Well, I'm not God. Neither was he. Neither was he. Don't write me any letters, as Gary says. I know there was a God in him, but all of his humanity he was living out. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And when he said no, that was it. Now, how do I get that? Well, go to church, pay your tithes, be good. Nah. You have to believe in him. Well, I believe in his existence. You still don't get to go. You still don't change. I taught a short class last night. I got a chance to go and share with some of Mike and Amber's friends. And they're our friends now, too. We've got to know them. It's amazing. People that I don't know that don't go to this church wanted me to baptize them and their children. That's pretty cool. But they've met me a couple of times. So I shared just for a moment, just what I'll share with you, because this is not our lesson this morning. I shared for a few moments. Look, you need to know who the invisible you is, and the real you is the one and the same. You've got an invisible you. What's the invisible you? The person, the real you on the inside, is the spirit person. It's called the, now I'm not trying to be fancy, but it's called the pneuma or pneumatikos. Pneumatikos meaning the man of the spirit. The pneumatikos man is the man on the inside of you that looks just like you, because it is really you. Hollywood does get it right sometimes, because when they depict somebody dying in a car wreck, the person stands up and say, no, don't shock me again. I'm right here. Really, in the Bible, I can show you a number of places that you have a real you on the inside of you that looks just like you, because it is you. It's the spirit person. Now, the moment that you did not, before you knew Jesus, that person was dead. You said he was alive. You said, I had that person. He was dead in this. He existed, but he had all of death in him. The Bible says that we are all born after the sinful man of Adam, the first Adam. Now, there's not a second Adam. There's a last Adam. His name is Jesus. Now, we get to be born after him. And all that corruption, all that putrid, nasty, filthy corruption was in us, in that spirit person. But the moment that we ask Jesus, when we say, Lord, I not only believe you exist, somebody said, I believe in God. Everybody believes in God. That doesn't make you go into heaven. That doesn't give you a ticket to ride. What gives you an access, Jesus said, you must be born again. The man said, how can I? I'm pretty close to six. How can a six-foot man enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about that. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. In other words, your mom and daddy gave you your first birth. But only the Spirit of God can come into a person, and that invisible person, but is the real person, and absolutely change that person. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Paul said it another way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said this, that in that exchange, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And in that moment in time when a man says, Lord, come into my life. That's why you look at people in the churches, you look at them, and it's really no mystery. I don't condemn them. You look at these churches, you can come into some of these, and I'm not mad at big churches. I think we'll probably be a good size one day. I don't know. But people come in to these thousands and thousands, and they can hide. They can hide. In crowds, you can hide. Crowds are some of the best places you can possibly hide at. You can hide real good in a crowd. And if there's nobody telling you from the pulpit that you need Christ, or you're going to go and burn in a lake of fire, I'm not happy about that. It's just what the Word of God says. If they don't tell them that and tell them the access out of that lake of fire is Jesus Christ, they can live their whole life and never, ever, never be born again. And that's why the world looks at him and says, you know what? That guy's, he calls himself a Christian. He's sleeping with his girlfriend. He's getting high. He's snorting. He's doing this. He's doing that. What's the difference? Oh, I'll take Jesus. You know, you're passing him around. I'll take one of those. No, Jesus is a commitment. Jesus is an absolute commitment. Jesus says, I will follow you. What do I get out of the deal? You get life. You get peace. You get joy unspeakable and full of glory. You get something the world doesn't have, and the world should look at you and say, man, when we're falling apart, they got their act together. Not that we're as Christians like, I'm gonna commit suicide. I'm so depressed. I'm like, well, why? What's the difference? We're supposed to be head and shoulders. We're supposed to be those, not with pride, like, look at me, but a sense of like, man, you know what? That guy don't party with us. And it's not because he acts like he's better than us. There's something different about him. Well, the difference is, the reason why we look at people in the church and we say, you know what? They're just carnal Christians. I can't find any place in the Word of God where it says you can be a carnal Christian. I'm not being mean. It just makes it simpler for me. I just think thousands of them have never, ever crossed the line. They've never been born again. Because once you're born again, something really happens. You say, I don't want to do that anymore. Well, here's the, I won't stumble anymore. I mean, I won't delay. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you will be saved. Come into my life, forgive me of my sins. And I told him last night, when we baptize you, that is Romans 6, and when Romans 6, 7, 8, when we baptize you and put you under, the word tells us that Jesus went into hell for us, but then he was resurrected into life. And that baptism, the word tells us in Romans 6, 7, and 8, that we're supposed to follow him in that baptism. And when we do, we come up to life. And that's a testimony. Baptism was supposed to be a testimony to everybody to say, you know what? Bro, everybody, sisters, I will follow him for the rest of my life. Not when my friends come by and say, let's party. And I'll, you know what, I make a commitment last week, but one more time. I will make, this is it. If I go in that water and come up, this is it. I'm done. Stick a fork in me. I'm done for the rest of my life. I'm done. So it is, the gospel's been, it's been cheapened in that, like, it's been sold like real, you can do this. And then, if you want to, no, it's a real, it's a real commitment. But all the benefits are incredible. The benefits are incredible. This morning, if you're watching, and if there's anybody in here, I'm just going to pray a prayer. If you're not sure, absolutely sure, where you stand with God, and you want to, I've had mothers bring their sons up here. I've had them bring their, listen, you can't make anybody get born again. They got to want to. It's got to be on their own fruition or their own volition. It has to be based on their want to and say, you know what, I really know that I need somebody bigger than myself. Pushing anybody to say the words. Words don't really make it. It's the heart. So I'm going to say these, and if you want to, let's all just pray this together. I don't think it'll hurt even all of us who believe. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I confess him as Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and wash me in your blood. Father, I make a commitment. I will serve you the rest of my life. And if I do sin, I'll ask forgiveness and receive your cleansing power. I love you, Father, and I commit myself in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's a side journey, but I didn't know I was going to take, but I know it was from the Lord. We're still talking about, from last week, the power and the harvest. I don't know how far we'll get today. My job is just to follow him. It's not to get up here and go through a bunch of somebody. It was really cute, and it was really wonderful. Those, they're very sincere. They said, what are you, I was at a table, a lot of people, and they said, what are you teaching on tomorrow? I said, I was trying to remember, and then I knew I could get it in my notes, and then Amber, my daughter, sitting across from me, she goes, you know what? He doesn't know what he's preaching on sometimes until an hour before. We don't. And I had to try to make the person believe that I just baptized their child, that I did know something. I said, you know, now I do study a lot. I do study a lot. And I said, I have a library of information on the inside of me that can be pulled up at any given time, and then I can share it. But so I didn't want them to think that this guy, you know, at least I give him some kind of hope that he knows what he's talking about. So hallelujah. My job is to continue. Now, I will say this. Let me butter you up first. I don't believe that I'm speaking to people that are antagonistic towards what I'm saying. I believe you're in 100% agreement, and those who are watching, or else you wouldn't be here or watching. But my job is to continually, at least through this message, to share with you the absolute connection between our assignment, and our assignment's different. We've got a niche. It's a niche. It's an assignment, I believe, that was really given to the first church, but in consideration to where so much of the church is at today, and I'm not casting stones, but it's a niche, and it's a niche to go into prayer to pull out the power. Somebody said, you're after power. No. That's very shallow. We're not after the power. We're after the place of the power, the intimacy. And out of that place of intimacy, we do want to receive and see the power. We want people to say, you know, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit in that prophecy, and I'm trying to keep myself out of the prophecy by just listening and giving what I'm hearing. But it's like he really wants the days of I'll pray for you to be over and then just kind of go on. Like, that's real nice. I'll pray for you, Harry. That's, I know you're going through something. I'll pray for you. Yes, I'll pray for you, but let's pray now if I can, if it's an immediate thing. Some things are family-oriented. Some things are have a longevity, the relationships. I know God's got to get involved and kind of get in there and change. But I'm talking about immediate things. Now, there's no shame in your game if you can. Look, I'm with you. I'm trying to get there myself. But I'll pray for you. I don't know about you. I don't go that much because I haven't had the opportunity or whatever. But the worst thing about going to the hospital and praying for somebody is leaving them in the same condition. Benevolence is one thing. That's pretty cool. It's supposed to be way beyond benevolence. Like, I've showed up to show you moral support. God wants us to bring a whole lot more in our package than moral support. I'm not just here to moral support you. I'm here to help get you up out of this bed. And if anything less than that doesn't aggravate you, then you're really not completely on this path yet. You're saved, maybe. Or you are. But if you're not aggravated by like that in a good discussion, like, I don't like that. If that didn't happen when I prayed, I'm not blaming you, Jesus, but I'm going to go someplace where, you know, someplace in the Spirit where that happens. I want to amp this up. Hallelujah. How many would like to get at least 50%? I'd like to get in the 50% range. We're going to be in the 100% range. So my job is in this message, and maybe we don't even get very far again today, but is to convince you what you're already aware of is that what we're doing is the right path. It's the right path, and I believe that you believe that. But I'll say this in all due respect. Now, I'm not talking about, let me clarify, I'm not talking about revelation knowledge. I know that I can be taught. There's a whole lot more that I need to learn to be taught. I believe teachers that are really following God can teach me. I believe that I can learn. I'm not saying what I'm about to say in that aspect of being taught like more. But as far as the path that we're on, as in the specific instructions of the prayer precedes the prayer equivocates the power, and the power precedes the harvest. Now, I'm asking you this, and this is due respect. Judge me one way or the other. Either or. In other words, somebody said, well, listen, it's not, I appreciate you, Pastor, but sometimes, you know, I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I'm asking you, please, throw out everything. Throw me out. Throw the baby and the bathwater out. If everything, judge. And if everything that, if the path is not the right path, in other words, how would you equivocate that? I'm saying all the instructions, like, say, like blueprint prophecies and those things, if there's any exception in you with that, not because, and you judge, you have to be the judge. If you're like, because that's a chartered path. If there's any part of in that that says, I don't know about that part, I don't think that, well then throw them all out. Because here, let me sow some divine, you say this is a contradiction I've never heard, let me sow some divine doubt in you for the purpose of faith. If it's not all, then it shouldn't be any in your way of thinking. Either accept it all or say that guy's a heretic. He's leading us down the wrong path. If it's not complete, then throw it all out. Don't keep any of it. I don't want anything on my shelf in my repertoire of believing that has any taint in it. Do you understand that? If there's any part of like, I suspect, well then throw it all, don't keep any of it. Well, I think you were on target there, but I'm not sure about that. Don't keep any of it because it's coming from the same vessel.
Because if one part of it's right, all of it's right. Or if one part of it's wrong, it's all wrong. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? In the spirit. Why are you saying that? Because our focal point has to get real fine, defined. We have to know exactly what our assignment is, what our niche is, where we're headed. Marty, can you come here, please? I appreciate it. Marty is an elder. Marty Plamond is an elder in the church here. He has been for many, many years, 20 probably plus years. You're going to grab that one. That's good. He has, for many, many years, I guess he qualifies as an old man in the book of Joel, because the book of Joel says, your old man shall dream dreams. So he has come to me at times throughout the years, many times, and he never has belabored anything like, Pastor, I think you should share this. Never, ever has he told me, I think you should share this. So I have a file with his dreams, and he's a dreamer. He's been given, you know, the Lord gives him dreams, and I've judged those dreams for 20 years. So he had a dream several weeks ago, and this is the first Sunday I felt any kind of inclination to share it, but it has everything to do with where we're going with this, the rest of this message, and I want Marty to share that with you. So, amen, Marty.
Okay. Behold, I have dreamed a dream. You have to say that or it's not real.
That's
Anyway, so I have this dream. I am in the prayer center in Tulsa, big building. I come in the side door, and Dave Roberson and all the guys who are in charge have left. They just went out the side door. And the crew, or the like Derek and all them, they were gathering up the sound equipment and going out the back door. And the building was going to get tore down the next day. So that was the last service. And so I'm there, and I think, well, I should help. So I'm over here by myself. I grab a bundle of wires, but then I look up, and everybody's gone. I'm standing there by myself. And the lights are dim, and they kind of had something set up in the back for like the, there was going to be a little service that night for something. And then I woke up. But when I woke up, it's funny because my thought wasn't, you know, well, in the dream, one of the first thoughts was, you know, they're going to tear down the building. Dave's going to be brokenhearted about this. And it seemed to focus around Dave Roberson and the message that has come to maturity, which we teach here, which is the apostles' doctrine, you know, the four-legged chair and all those analogies. And so when I woke up, I realized that the next generation wasn't interested in that, and that they weren't, like, catching on to it like it was important, like their life depended on it. Like, for example, me and my wife 21 years ago, we were dying, and we called out to the Lord, and the Lord hands us Dave Roberson's book, and there's like thousands of people around this country that have that same story, but I don't know anybody in the past 10 years that have that story. And I don't know why. I don't know why it was so different for us. I'm not trying to, you know, overanalyze the what or why about it, but in the dream when I woke up, I realized the next generation, it was like the baton is there, but they don't want it. It's kind of like there's a saying that has come about through somebody, and it might have been like a Smith Wigglesworth, but we've said it, that the supernatural, we've learned to live without. And so it's like I was just, it hurt me, like in a way, because I was like, I have found, like, you know, like, you ever hear the old stories, they're searching for the fountain of youth and, you know, just going through arduous journeys. Well, you know, we went through a 10-year arduous journey through church Christendom that was just horrible. You know, just starve you to death. And it was like just a spiritual fast. And then one day we said, that's it, Lord. You know, we cried out to the Lord. And then, you know, poof, Some Spanish guy named Joel Ortiz says, hey, God told me to give you this book. And I'm like, he did. You know, and then it went on from there. But like, we go to the first conference, and I go by myself because I want to check it out, because I don't want to sell out and there just be another bunch of flaky people. And they weren't. They were solid. And so somebody handed me, because we were poor, broken, pitiful back then. So I went to the bookstore, and they had all the tapes for the Foundation series. I mean, there was a lot, and I couldn't buy any of them. And then I turned around and I left, and somebody gave me a bag with every one of them in it. And it was like, this is so wonderful. You know, it was like, this is, but now it's like, you can't even, I mean, you could give somebody $100 in one of these tapes and they just throw it away. And it's like, I don't know what this is going to do, but it's not good.
So I think the quote was something like, you don't want it because you can live without it. As long as you can live without the power and be satisfied, there's no thirst for it. So I appreciate that, Marty. And I believe it was a dream from the Lord, and primarily to continue to warn us how important it is for us to stay the course, pass the baton to this generation. We're not lifting up a man, we're lifting up the Apostles' Creed. Now, I'm not bragging on myself, there's others. But this is what I do. I don't do anything else. I'm not involved. I've got some little thing going on at the house, but this is what I do. I'm not spending my day doing other stuff, trying to figure out something. I've got my nose in this book, and I know how to look up. I've got programs. I can look up the Greek and the Hebrew and the history, and I've got friends that are really educated that I can ask. And then I'm praying. Now, I'm not saying all that to say this, that I'm above you. I'm just saying I'm praying in that supernatural language that gives a dictation to all truth. So it would amaze me. It just would amaze me. It would amaze me beyond life. I don't even know if I'd believe in God anymore if some way God showed me that we were on the wrong path. Because that would mean 25 years of just intricately line-on-line study this and praying in tongues. I'm sowing some doubt in a positive way. Do you understand that? If we're on the wrong path, then 25 years of praying in tongues has meant nothing, and it won't mean nothing for the next 25 years either. Or the word won't mean anything. We're just best to find some way to go our own way. But I'm telling you, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I therefore so run not as uncertainty, fight I as one that beateth the air. In other words, every path, Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into a perfect day. Every day that I spend in tongues, every day that I spend in the word, absolutely illuminates this path and says, stay on this sun. At the end of it is everything I've asked you for. Everything that I've sowed into your life, everything from the Dave Robersons to everybody that's been a part of it, and everybody that has believed this, that praying in tongues, seeking God, and going into the prayer closet will proceed and solicit from God everything that he needs to reenact. We're asking for a reenactment of the book of Acts. So which comes first? We said that last week. Is the chicken or the egg? Well, obviously it's the chicken. The chicken was created in the garden. The egg was not created in the garden. Why are you saying that? That's not a spiritual truth. I'm just saying this. In that analogy, which comes first? Does going out there and doing it solicit God to come? In other words, does made it, and we said last week, we clarified, we went through 15 minutes of saying, bloom where, do what, wherever you're at, evangelize, preach the word,
If you get a, somebody says, I'm sick, lay hands on them. Pray for them. We're not asking you to be mute and dumb. Not dumb here, dumb there in your mouth. Do whatever. But here's the question. Does the power, and when I say power, this whole message about power to us should mean this. Power that comes from the prayer closet. Spending time in intimacy. Spending time in the Word. Spending time in praying in other tongues. Because, the church hadn't seen it. So does evangelism, like just go ahead and get out there and do it, does that provide the power? That's a good question. In other words, if I go out and do it, God will start meeting me there. Or does the power in prayer precede the evangelism? Well, I don't even think I can get to it. I've got 7, 8, 9, I don't know how many, one right after the other, that the power came first, and then the explosion of evangelism. Again, now I'm exhorting, not going to the Word. But I can prove to you, we started with the book of Acts. The power came through prayer. And after prayer, then came 3,000 souls. A miracle takes place as a result of them staying in prayer with a man crippled. And then 5,000 are saved. And then on and on and on and on throughout the Word. See, I understand. I understand it's not dumb. It's not new to me. The precept of like, get out there and do it. And if you get out there and do it, he'll meet you there because you're being obedient. Because we shared last week that Mark 16 and Acts 1:8 is the same. Or Acts 1 and I said 8, but that's all part of the same sit down. That's where he's at. He's telling them, I'm going away. He gets caught up. Go into all the world, but also go into Jerusalem first and wait and endue for the endowment of power. So it makes sense. You'd think, like, okay, if I'll just be obedient and get out there and do it, he'll go out there and meet me. Because you're just holding, you know, Pastor, this is like, are we on the wrong, or did we miss something? We were headed to, you know, we were headed to 10 buck two. I think we got changed around. Did we miss something? We haven't missed anything. Now, have you arrived? Absolutely not. My God, I have not arrived. I can still be taught. But is the path that we're on, is the path perfect? Absolutely. You can't beat it out of me. You can't mock it out of me. You can't do anything to take this path because it's sown so deep inside of me. And I believe that's all of us. I believe that's you. So the ideal is if I just go out there and start doing it, he'll meet me. And he does. He does. He really does. But still so limited. So limited. You can't find, please, I challenge anybody watching, anybody in here, come and share with me. Here's what they're having, what you're after. So what are you after? Let me define it. I don't want to be smart. I just want to say, first time, every time. Well, that's a big ambition, Pastor. I know, but that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's my life assignment, and that's yours as well. Well, I just want Christian character and Christian growth. Good. Wonderful. That's wonderful. But we're looking for signs and wonders to follow. Because if I look in the book of Acts, systematically, look at the book of Acts, not, you say, you're pumped up, you're excited about it. I know you're pumped up about your revival assignment. I'm looking at this and saying, look, can I prove this in a court of law? Can I actually stand in front of people that don't know anything and say, look, you judge, should we just go out there and do it and that'll bring the power? Or should we go to a place where is a prescribed place that you can receive the power? And once you receive the power, then there's going to be an escalation of glory that'll absolutely turn the world upside down. And I believe I can prove it in a court of law with multiple examples. Well, we give it a few. But can I just go and do? And yes, he will, because he'll do that for any of us who believe. If you lay hands on the sick, he'll get out there. But what we've seen is such a limited, a hit, lick, and miss. Are you for the evangelist? Oh, my God. I can't tell you how much. I'll tell you more about this. We'll have more announcements on it. Mario Morello and Lance Walno are coming to the Hertz Arena in October 27th and 28th, I believe. Are you going to be there, Pastor? I am absolutely going to be there. I'm going to encourage you to be there. It's going to be a wonderful time. They're believing for miracles. They're believing for all kinds of wonderful things to take place. He's a pure evangelist. But what you're going to see is this. You're going to see that there are going to be miracles take place, but you're going to see them happen by the gifts. Unless he enters into a revival status between now and then, you're going to see the gifts. What does the gifts mean? It means you may get healed or you may not get healed. You may come and get healed. You'll see sporadic. Somebody will be healed over there and somebody will be healed over there. And then the major part of people will leave sick. But something good will be done, right? And some people will be born again. Are we going to... Man, I love what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing. I'm gonna go be in those meetings. I've got a friend, you don't know him, so he's not watching, so I can talk about him. You shouldn't talk about anybody. Oh yeah, for teaching, because you don't know him. He's of the persuasion that, well, you just don't do anything if you don't have it all. That's ignorance going to seed. You do whatever you can until you can get to the best. My God, you pray for people, you witness to people, you do whatever you can. You don't just sit on your butt and say, well, until we get it all, we're not going to do anything. Are you crazy or have your senses left the building or what? We do what we can. But our niche, our call is this: go all the way in. And if... See, he's already told us this through multiple prophecies that there are going to be things that are going to come to say, this looks like revival, that looks like revival, and we're going to have a sense of aptitude to say, that's really cool. You know, that's something that, you know, I could get involved in. And he's saying, stay the course. Stay in your lane. Stay the course. Do what you can to help other people, but stay the course. Well, your aspirations, you're way over the top. Listen, this is really the norm. It was the norm of the New Testament. That the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised. That was the norm. We're just trying to get back to the norm. We're trying to see a reenactment of the book of Acts. And I believe that we'll see it with unreserved, total resolve. Hallelujah. Let me continue, because I've got a few more minutes. Let me just give you some of what we shared last night. The end game is the harvest. That's the main thing. That's what God's after. But he's not after numbers. I believe we'll have hundreds, if not thousands, that will attend this church in days ahead. You'll all be family, because we'll not create... I don't like... Let me give you a secret. I don't like cliques. I don't like clicks, and I don't like, ooh, you get to rub shoulders with the pastor, or ooh, you get to rub shoulders. That wasn't Jesus. That's not us. It's family. So if we go to 10,000, we'll always be family. If the glue is the Holy Spirit. If the glue is praying in tongues, this is the day and hour. Oh, God, you intercessors, please, listen. I don't want to make much fanfare of this because I don't want to be a baby crier. But there, the attack against the church, he who has ears to hear, you hear this. Others, bless your heart, just let it pass over your head. The attack against the church has been amped up. In what way? You pray about it, he'll tell you. And also, I'm asking you to pray for your pastor. He's amped up because we must be doing stuff right. We must be doing stuff right. And you are praying. But what I was going to say is this is the day of the intercessor. This is your finest day. Male or female, keep praying. Because we're about to enter into a harvest like we've never seen. But here's where it gets real particular. Now, I don't have all the answers on this. But I said last week, if we had 20 people born again this next Sunday, we'd have a real problem. I'd like that problem, But also, what's the deal is, if you get somebody saved in the Walmart parking lot, you're their parent. You have to parent them. In other words, you have to disciple them. You've got a great responsibility. Don't get somebody born. I got somebody born again. Wonderful. What? How many times have you contacted them? Well, I got them born again. I feel really good about myself. Oh, the easy part's getting them born again. You better start calling them, giving them. Tonight would have been the seventh lesson. We're going to do that. We're going to teach people how to. We've already taught the lesson on getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to teach how to start praying systematically. That won't be tonight, though. Sorry. But people have told me those lessons are really, really helping people. Really helping people. So we're going to give you that to help people. But if 20 people get born again, we've got a big responsibility. It's not that I don't want them to get born again, but he said he added to the church daily such as should be saved. So here's the deal. I want them to come. How many believe that he wants all of Immokalee saved? How many believe he wants them saved yesterday? Right now, if not sooner. But also at the same time, if we get a big influx in here, think past just the moment. Let's think past the moment. We get a big influx. Excuse me, Holy Spirit, I'm not trying to be he's still barking about prayer through me. He doesn't bark. I'm sorry. But you keep hearing me, pray, 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 until you can't pray. All I've ever heard was prayer. Is it here? No, not yet. But the bread is in the oven. It's baking. But I don't want to serve partial bread. That's just, please, I'm not trying to be cute here or mean. That's just what everybody else can do. You know, now I'm not, Gary said this about Tim and Dave. If they want to, you know, they were, you know, Dave's in heaven. Tim's he's a brilliant man. They could have built a huge church. I'm not as smart as them, but God's given me I've got a good IQ. If I wanted to, just like with the smarts I've got, it's not our size that we have here. Is because I'm dumb, and I know that that's not an argument, and there's no need for. Apart from him, I've got enough intelligence to, in 2 or 3 years, triple, quadruple this congregation. But what would that mean? Another powerless church, another bunch of people. And if 20 people come in here and they get born again, who do we assign them to? Who's ready to jump on those? But can you jump on them and follow up and not lose your prayer life? Because with babies, I've never been a mama. I don't think I'll ever will be. But I have shared a life with a mother and now a grandmother. And all you mamas know, babies take time. Baby, I just want to be evangelist. Get them saved. Here, you take the baby. Here, you take the baby. And God's saying to a church, birth, 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 birth. And we want to say, no, I want to go ahead and get babies. And he's saying, you may have an exception with this, but I got to tell you, trying to raise babies before the birth doesn't work. What? Do you understand what he's saying? Having too much on your agenda while he's asking you to get something done. Do you understand? Some of you, I don't think you do, but you're trying. What are you saying? He's saying, pray and evangelize wherever you're at. Pray. Okay. I hope we get 30 people born again next week. Okay, so now we've amped up a big responsibility. I gotta call on the intercessors and say, you intercessors, will you start calling these people? Will you start calling them 2 and 3 and 4 and 5? Because the intercessors are usually the ones that are really walking in a close enough place that they can sensitive to be. or, you know, male or female, will you start calling, well, pastor, which, what do you want me to do? Pray or do follow-up? Because I only got a certain amount of time. Right now, he's begged us. He's got down on one knee and say, I'll be with you. So what's going to happen in the harvest? The perpetuation of the harvest is this. The presence of God comes down and equalizes everything on a plane to where the Word of God says that there will be babies born with teeth. So that the things that they're hearing from this pulpit flows to them in an even keel, so evenly given, is that they grow up right in our midst. And whatever else that you need to do in follow-up, it will take place. What did they do in the book of Acts? They were having thousands born again at once. But at the same time, there was the power that equalized everything and brought it to the same. If that power is not resident and we start trying to do something that we're not empowered for before we do the thing that he said for us to do, which is the blueprint, go in, stay in, and do whatever you need to do to get the job done until this thing is birthed. If we do anything less, it'll be a big distraction. It'll be an absolute distraction. Well, you just want to tie us down and you will just want to do. No, I'm just, that's our, I'm blaming him. I'm just praying in tongues and he just, it's him. I blame him. We've got a niche. But at the end of the day, when somebody calls you and says, I need prayer, how many friends do they know that they can call? Now, they'll get moral support from a lot of people. I like moral support, but I'd rather have results. I like a pat on the back and a squeeze, but I'd rather have results. I like you saying I love you, but I'd rather have results. I'd rather have somebody that goes to a place where they can just say the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus shows up. The power of the Jesus shows up. Because they've been walking in a good conscience. Not destroying their neighbor. Don't get to meddling, Pastor. Not watching things they shouldn't. And staying in the prayer closet. And so when they just say Jesus, he just shows up. He just shows up. Hallelujah. About done. I don't put a whole lot of stock in this, but sometimes I do. It's like when you see preachers or people that want to have a long, if they get asked to pray, if they get asked to be the person to pray or lead something before, like an, you know, before the service starts or before the meal, and you're looking and you're listening and you're like, you know what? People are saying, man, that's a man of prayer. I'm thinking, you don't ever pray and you're trying to pray in front of us. You're wanting to impress somebody. Most people I've ever, they've spent 8-10 hours in prayer every day, and you ask him to pray for the meal. Good God, let's eat. You know, amen. Long dissertations and prayers and giving of thanks in public usually is a great measure of very little in private. You've listened real good. Stand up. Hallelujah. We didn't even get started hardly today. We'll go back into it next week. There'll be a part three. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Amen. Appreciate it. So, Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We believe that we're on the right road. We believe we're on the right road. Kingdom of God come and will of God be done. We haven't arrived. We're ways away from arriving. And none of us personally feel that we've arrived. But this we do. Happily, is that we follow after that which we have been apprehended for. And we give you all the praise and glory. We bless everybody out there, and we bless everybody in here. In Jesus' name, have a wonderful day. Come and support Miss Gay tonight. And God bless you. Amen.